Welcome to the Paperless Productivity Podcast, where we give you the tips, tricks, and know-how to solve your biggest workflow challenges and bring greater productivity into your workplace every day. They're dusty, and they have the power to take down your organization in a single event. That's right. Today, we're talking about the horror of paper-based offices. Welcome to our episode for this week. I'm Kate Story for ImageSoft, which is a sponsor of this fine podcast. And today, I'm joined by ImageSoft's marketing manager, Kevin Legister. Kevin has 17 years of experience with enterprise content management, with 15 of those years spent in technical sales and development. He's worked with everyone from Fortune 100 companies to very small organizations to help them on their journey of going paperless. So he's going to be a great resource for you today, especially if your organization is just starting to think about digitizing your paper-based processes. He's got a lot of great examples of why paper-based systems are not just inefficient, they're downright scary. Kevin, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
All right. Well, let's dive right in because I want to know what's really so terrible about paper.
Well, you know, I'm not a horror movie fan, which might leave you, you know, with a single sleepless night. But, you know, what keeps me up at night is when I walk into organizations and I see that their office is just paper driven. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the reason why for that is that there's just so many risks associated with having a paper driven office where your critical records are only existing in paper-based form.
Well, like what? Give me a couple of examples.
Well, you know, if you have a paper-based office, you really don't have any really good backup plan except to make more paper, you know, generally speaking, which is kind of crazy. So if you think about it, you know, if your only copy of your file is the one that you have in your file cabinet, you know, imagine that, you know, during this season, this Halloween season, that somebody brings in some cheap, you know, Halloween, you know, funny thing that they plug in that, you know, go, whoa, as you walk by or something like that scares the office staff. And
It's
got some cheap wiring that's in there and that wiring, you know, starts sparking when you're not there at night and it causes a fire and the sprinklers go on and then your cabinets get flooded and your ink runs in your papers or they get melded together. It just destroys all your critical records that you would have and it just becomes a terrible thing to do. So that's sometimes what we see in terms of, you know, from a fire perspective or from an electrical hazard perspective or even a flood. Mm-hmm. This was something that was recently in the news about, you know, one government office where they experienced a flood. And because that flood came in, it destroyed so many of their records that they have to go through this whole process to try and reconstitute or reconstruct a lot of those files. So and it was quite costly for them. We talked about fires already. There's other things I've seen too is people will use offsite storage or will store their documents in really weird places. So I've seen documents being stored in a abandoned jail cell. I've seen
that's pretty scary.
Yeah, it is scary. Or sometimes what happens, people have some spot in the warehouse where they'll store their paper-based files and it may not be air conditioned, it may be susceptible to weather, maybe susceptible to believe it or not, rodents. Rodents will get and they will chew up your files and use those as nesting. And you don't know that until you actually go to access the file one day.
It's too late.
Or sometimes we just see, you know, just from basic rotting of paper where they'll get damaged. So those are all things that, you know, impact your files. So especially as they get older and older and older, or as they increase where people start competing for office space and people, that's one of the things that we'll see where, you know, where it starts becoming critical. The other area that also too sometimes still amazes me, boggles my mind as much as it's almost like, you know, if you see somebody walking down the street with a flip phone, you're like, you know, which century is that person from? it's when people start, they still have microfilm or microfiche in their offices. And, you know, we understand that, you know, some places it's required by law and they have to have that. And that's, you know, that the law hasn't been updated yet to reflect more modern standards. But still, when you think about it, those rolls of microfilm that you have or the microfiche that you have in your library, those are all susceptible to fire as well. Those are susceptible to destruction. So they're very stable if they're kept in an air-conditioned environment. But they still are subject to, you know, various catastrophes, and it really is not a very effective way as well, too, from a day-to-day business perspective where you need to go back and access those things. So So those are some of the challenges that we see and some of the risks that we see with a paper-based office.
Yeah, that's really scary to think that in just one event, you know, it could even be a minor one, like you mentioned, the sprinklers. It doesn't have to be some major catastrophic weather event. Just having something happen where the sprinklers have to go off. In one event like that, all those files could just be completely lost.
Exactly. And that is so true. And, you know, we think of those people with, you know, with respect to a hurricane, you know, where water came in and did a whole lot of water damage. And that's the last thing you think about moving when the call to evacuate, you know, a particular area occurs is, oh, I got to grab all my files and let me haul up my, you know.
It makes it pretty hard, too.
Yes. Yeah.
No one's going to load up there.
No. Let's rent a U-Haul and grab a dolly and just grab the files. That's just not going to happen. Yeah. But the other thing that we see, too, is that, you know, in this one particular case, and we've seen this happen, you know, over my years, multiple times where when you see these files get damaged, and it doesn't have to be all your files, even just a small section of your files where they're critical and you have to reconstruct those and try to get the paper apart and try to somehow piece it back together, that the cost of actually reconstituting those files can actually exceed what it would have cost to digitize all those documents in a good document management system in the first place.
That's ridiculous.
It is kind of crazy. And nobody wants to pay twice for anything because you can pay to have those files reconstituted and you're back to where you were before all this happened. You still don't have a system in place to take care of those things.
Exactly. Yeah. And so many organizations are already working with such limited budgets to think about paying twice for something. And like you mentioned, the efficiency still isn't there. The additional benefits of having a digital system still don't exist, you know, by having to do both of those systems. So. Yeah. So there's another cost, you know, that I know is involved with that. You know, we talked about a little bit lost productivity, you know, when you have staff that are working with not only limited budgets, but limited time.
That's exactly right. And that's another hidden cost of dealing with paper is when something does happen to them, what is the cost of your business? I mean, think about this. What would it cost your business if 20% or 30% of your staff was sitting there doing nothing because the files and paper and the things that they need to get to are not accessible to them? What's the impact to that? What's the financial impact? And businesses are usually really good at figuring that out and thinking about that. A lot of times the government offices, that's not the way how they think. They don't think necessarily in terms of revenue. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of a challenge to wrap their minds around that. But that is huge. But from a government perspective, what you have to think about is what would happen if the constituents that are depending on a rebate check or access to, you know, public housing or access to some need or some project, for instance, you've got a building project that's going on. What's the impact if you can't fulfill your services or fulfill the promises that you've made to your constituents? And that can have a huge impact, you know, economically within the area in where you live and people that you serve. But it can also have an impact, you know, for people that are really who are in great need. And that's the last thing you want. And if you're in an election cycle, that's the last thing the elected officials also want to think about, too, is we have a whole bunch of people here who are screaming, you know, who just need help and you can't help them because you suffered some kind of catastrophe. Mm-hmm. We see this in court cases, too, where, you know, where public safety is an issue where, you know, maybe you need a bench warrant, maybe you need a protective order, you know, because something is going on, or the wheels of justice kind of grind to a halt because, you know, the files that they need to make things go forward for a case to proceed or for someone to get protected against, you know, maybe a spouse that, you know, mm-hmm. is endangering to the public, you know, can't be served. Or maybe there's somebody that's out there that's committed a criminal act, and because, you know, the wheels of justice stop, a warrant can't be issued for that person mm-hmm. to get arrested. So there's all kinds of things.
Simply because it's sitting on somebody else's desk and you can't a piece of paper can't be in two places at once.
That's exactly right. And a lot of times too, in particularly in those types of cases, you don't want multiple cases flying around. I remember one scenario working with actually it was actually a bank. Mm-hmm. And there was a very expensive car that had been where a bank's customer had borrowed money for this expensive car. It was a nice luxury car. It was quite expensive, and the person stopped making payments on it. So the bank, of course, took the person to court to, you know, they repossessed the car and tried to sue for the remaining amount that the person owed. And so it came to the court case, and because the bank had incomplete files, the judgment was awarded in the customer's favor. So the customer got the car back and did not have to make any further payments because the bank could not prove it with enough paperwork that this person had a lien. So there's all kinds of risks associated with not having adequate records, proper records, or incomplete records for a transaction. So from a business perspective, that can be a huge risk as well. Not to mention the fact that if you have poor customer service because it takes so long to process things because you're just dealing with paper or paper's been damaged or missing or went lost or whatever it is, you just run the risk of losing customers and they will go to someone else, you know, who's willing to take care of them in a timely manner.
Yeah, it just keeps adding up. I mean, all those different factors can really create a kind of a perfect storm when you're dealing with just paper. All right, well, let's talk about the technology aspect for a minute, because I think a lot of organizations are worried about the way the technology changes over time and that they feel like maybe they're safer with some of the older methods, that, you know, paper gives them something physical in their hand. It might feel like it's a more stable option. So how do we address something like that?
Sure. And if you think about it, you know, a good way to think about it is this. Is that a lot of us, you know, a lot of offices we walk into and where they feel that way about paper is the way that most people felt about cash 20 years ago, where we always wanted cash in our hands. We preferred that to credit. And now when you're in line at Starbucks or you're in line to buy your groceries and somebody pulls out cash and they start counting pennies and digging through their purse or their pockets to, you know, their to scrub the lint off of their quarters and their pennies, whatever, to pay. And everybody just gets frustrated. Like, this is just slowing everybody down. Uh-huh. You know, we have other things that we need to do. So just in terms of thinking about, you know, how you approach paper and thinking about it, it is scary. And it's scary in two ways. Number one, it's scary in terms of, you know, is the electronic or technology system reliable enough, you know, that we can trust as opposed to having that physical paper in our hands? That's number one. And the other thing, too, is that some people are just scared of technology.
Right.
And we see that as people age, they get scared of new technology. You know, what will this mean? Will I lose my job? That type of thing. So there's some scary things with regards to that. And the third thing that we see is just, you know, it's just wrapping your mind around how do we transition to a paperless office? You know, what happens? But, you know, from our perspective, what we see, and this is kind of the hidden scary cost or the hidden scary thing about paper is, you know, it might seem like, you know, almost like that Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. I remember watching that Bugs Bunny cartoon with that where, you know, he'd be walking with the doctor and everything was fine. And then the potion would kick in and we'd turn into Mr. Hyde and it's a scary monster. And then suddenly you don't realize that you're walking with a scary monster where you thought it was just this friendly, you know, doctor individual that you're walking with. And so what happens is that as your records age and as they get older and older and older, the cost to transition to a digitized office, to a digital office, actually goes up dramatically. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason for that is that it just gets much harder to capture, you know, old paper. As paper gets older, it thins out. The ink tends to fade if there's any ink that's on it. And what ends up happening is as you capture it, number one, you may not be able to run, you know, thinning paper through a typical scanner.
Oh, okay.
And so when that happens is that you need to switch a much more expensive flatbed scanner to capture those images. Because the last thing you want to do is start, you know, grabbing a file and running it through a scanner. Then the scanner just tears the whole thing apart. It does that enough with brand new paper, much less to have really old paper that's different. So capturing is more expensive. And then not only that, you have to look at your paper much more. So you have to use much more expensive technology to say, you know, can you have enough contrast between the ink and the background paper behind it so that you still have a relevant record enough so the fact that you can take that paper-based copy and either destroy it, get rid of it, shred it, or store it in an offsite location where you never really have to touch it except in the most extreme dire circumstance where you can now work with electronic copy. So those are some things that we see just from a technology perspective with respect to, you know, what's transitioned from a paper-based office.
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned those scanners and things like that. I mean, that's technology that's going to change too. I mean, that's even if you're concerned about advances with a digital approach, you're still going to have to use some sort of technology just to be able to read the paper documents. I mean, that seems kind of crazy to me.
It is.
Yeah. Okay, so our listeners now might be starting to realize that having a paper-based office has a lot of downsides, but they don't really know how to get started with going digital. So what do they do? Where do you suggest they start?
So for most organizations, what we've seen is just a great successful formula is the first thing they need to do is have executive level support. So somebody high in their organization needs to get behind this, needs to support this. You know, if it's in a court, you might want to have a judge. If it's in a business, you might want to have the, you know, the chief executive officer, chief operations officer, or the CIO behind it. You need to have executive level support, somebody at higher level that says, we're behind this thing. This is what we're going to do. This is our plan. And make sure that you get the budget and everything for a process to go forward. The second thing is that you need an internal champion that makes it happen. So it's usually executive level person is your sponsor, but you need an internal champion that says, hey, I believe in this. I think this is the way to go. Somebody that can work with the different departments in the organization, get them into the room and say, this is what the plan is. This is what the executive saying that we need to do, and have everybody be part of that conversation, because it really is going to touch everybody in that organization, whether or not they may be phase one or phase two or need to go paperless at all. At some point, they're going to have to touch the technology. So you want to think and get those people in the room. And then the third thing that you want to do is that you want to get a partner, you know, somebody that's out there that not only sells, you know, the actual software and the services to implement it, but somebody that has a proven track record with helping you make the mental change. Because the biggest thing with success is not the technology. The technology's there. Once you have the money, you know, the money's there. There really is. It's just the thinking that goes around changing those processes. So just to give you an example, I'll use an example that we see sometimes in the court space, for instance, where you have a document that comes in, and to make this an official part of the court record, you stamp the document and you have an official stamp. You might use a seal, whatever it is, to say this is now an official part of a court record. It might have a date and time on those types of things. Well, in a non-paper environment, you don't have that. So you have to think about, well, how can I apply an electronic stamp to this so that the document is stamped, it's fixed to it, we have a record of it, and that it becomes part of an electronic record. So those are some of the things that you have to think about as you make that transition to a, you know, paperless office. It's not just having a scanner and turning it to electronic copy so I can see it on my phone, so I can see it on my tablet, so I can see it on my computer. It's how does our process change? Who can help us ask those important questions to us, those questions that we don't know, that we're blind to, that makes it really scary, a scary proposition for us, to make it something where it feels like, oh, this is just a walk in a park, right? Yeah. Now we're just going from door to door getting candy. We're not frightened and running away through a dark cemetery, that type of thing.
Exactly. It's a mindset change, it sounds like. Yeah, that's a big deal. All right. Well, that's great. I think we've covered a lot of ground here, and I hope everyone listening is really starting to see how having a paper-based office can take a lot of fear out of running their business and help them to better achieve their goals. So, Kevin, thanks so much for taking the time today.
Yeah, thanks, Kate, for having me.
Thanks again for joining us today for this episode of Paperless Productivity. This podcast is sponsored by ImageSoft, the paperless process people, which you can learn more about at ImageSoftInc.com. That's ImageSoftInc.com. Join us next time, where you'll learn how to harness the power of technology, supercharge efficiency, and accomplish your organization's goals.